Welcome to the Impact Makers, the Crypto Sapiens podcast, where we spotlight the remarkable individuals shaping the crypto landscape and leaving a lasting impact on the world. Join us for captivating stories of breakthroughs, triumphs, and invaluable lessons learned as we explore the dynamic world of the public greats working hard to build a brighter future for us all. I'm your host, John Ruth, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Carlos. Carlos, otherwise known as Noun976 or Carlos, the meme-packed maxi and public goods ambassador extraordinaire. With an infectious, let's fucking go spirit, he's a master of impact onboarding and an amazing father both on and off the blockchain. When he's not exploring the depths as a scuba diver, he's pioneering the way forward as the founder of Web3 Beach, carrying the torch for onboard impact projects to Optimism, Arbitrum, and Nouns DAO. He's passionate about channeling the degen to regen pipeline, steering the space towards growth through impact over speculation. From onboarding Honduras to Web3, through social and environmental impact to fostering a culture of builders supporting builders, Carlos is the epitome of driving positive change in the digital frontier. Welcome to the podcast, sir. Thanks for joining.
John, thanks so much. What an intro, man. Killer.
Please do. Please do. And I definitely, I had to add in the piece about being a father, because I think you really do connect your IRL life, being a father to an amazing daughter, to Web3, and I think remind us all to step away from the computer and go have some fun with our kids sometimes. So have to give you a shout out for that first and foremost. And she's such a interesting character in the Web3 world, as you bring her sort of in and out of everything we're doing here. But how you doing? Anything else you want to tell us about what you're up to right now before we kind of dive in?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I've been leaning into the stay-at-home Chad role, you know, and I'm currently working on a Nouns prop. So I'm you know, adopting the build in public culture, and I'm using this as an opportunity to, you know, show everyone what the process of creating a prop looks like. And hopefully this means that people get a little bit more involved in the Nouns ecosystem, get more familiar with the types of projects that the DAO has funded. And you know, end goal is, you know, not just get my prop up there, but also encourage other people to take that step, right? Maybe they've got this dream project that they've been putting on the shelf for a while. And I want them to be motivated and just inspired to see, like, oh, there's funding out there, and this is something I can adapt to the brand, to the Nouns brand, and make this dream a reality.
Yeah, and I'm definitely going to jump into that in the episode, because I think your work there, it feels like the culmination of so much of the work you've been doing in the last, you know, couple years, like culminating in this newest project to really work with all these communities that you've already begun to onboard, but to help them create a prop in Nouns that can really fund an amazing amount of impact and really, I think, take the level of maybe even the Nouns props up a level in terms of the output and the real world impact that the Nouns ecosystem can have. Before we jump into that, would love to hear your crypto origin story. I'd like to kind of talk to all the guests about, you know, how they stumbled into this weird world that you and I have been living in.
Yeah, that's a great question. I joined in 2019, just getting more familiar with the tech, right? And you know, it wasn't really appealing at that time. It wasn't like full on bull or anything like that. It was still kind of in the bear zone. But I started doing just research, and I've always gravitated to emerging technology. And the more I started learning about it, the more I wanted to get involved. The first thing that really piqued my attention was Chainlink. You know, it seemed like powerful technology that can connect, you know, real world data to blockchain and help grow this ecosystem. But one thing that really resonated with me was the Link Marines. You know, they have this really strong meme culture, and I thought it's just a great combination of emerging technology that has potential to grow this industry, but also they have really funny people in their community, and they have, you know, all the frog memes and the Sergi memes, you know. I just fell in love with that, and I bought a bunch of Link, And that dropped like, I don't know, 50%. So I had to go explain to my wife why I'm investing in this emerging technology that I still didn't fully understand. So I thought, okay, I'm going to keep diving into this. I don't think they had VRF yet. But I somehow, as I kept doing research, I got into NFTs. And at that point, NFTs were being called crypto art. It wasn't the NFT scene that we have today. It was a lot of glitchy trash art movement, you know, where they had like the 64-gallon Home Depot thing that caused like a lot of the toter that caused a lot of debate on, you know, what is allowed to be tokenized and created and, you know, sold as your own art. I got really into that movement because I just thought it was so rebellious and I liked it. And I started glitching out my scuba photography and videos and minting those, and they started selling. And then, you know, during the pandemic, everyone became an artist during the pandemic, right? Like everyone was doing like paint pouring and doing all these things. And I started doing that. And eventually a few influencers or crypto content creators found my stuff, and they would like write me and buy actual canvases. And then I started just shipping out canvases all over the place. So I got to go back to my wife and go, yeah, we're down a lot on Link, but look at this. I'm selling canvases for like thousands of dollars. This is crazy, right?
That is crazy. And actually, as long as we've known each other, I don't think I realized that piece of the origin story. Like I knew a little bits, but that's what a great way to onboard in. And I think it's such an interesting time. Like if you'd have jumped in a little later into quote NFTs, it would have been the PFPs. It would have been a whole different thing that you were jumping into, but you were still catching that like early wave of crypto art that was still just people playing with this tech. It wasn't a big boom. It was about making money, but it was really about the art still at that point.
There is a gap between that and the pandemic when I started selling the canvases. So when I really got into, one of the reasons that I really fell in love with NFTs was I saw potential to create brand awareness and brand loyalty, right? So that to me clicked the same way that social media did. It just felt like this new tool that you can use to really create this community and use it to educate people on your product. So at that point, I think most crypto projects were still in the phase of like their education was basically go to the Telegram and then our moderator is going to tell you to go read the white paper. I thought, this sucks. This is what kind of community engagement is this, you know? And then I started playing around with, okay, what if you started using NFTs to represent your products and you have this storytelling to go along with it? And then people are really excited to learn about it because you've created this kind of, I was trying to copycat a lot of like the Marvel cinematic, like multiverse, right? So create these characters in different, like in anime or in Transformers style and all these things. And they would have like moves that represent the products that these companies were trying to sell that I started working for. And I ended up getting sniped by a couple of companies to join and kind of like do this thing with them, community engagement thing. And it was great to experiment and just learn a lot, you know, hands-on learning.
And that whole time you were still in Honduras and still, I mean, at that point, weren't really doing the impact onboarding, which is what I want to maybe start leaning into, like how you end up all of a sudden, like, somewhat exiting the degen culture yourself, though I know we all get a little degen in us, but really like starting to see the potential of how this could affect your community and affect the people that were visiting your community.
Exactly. I was nowhere near that. So I was already organizing beach cleanups because I was living in Honduras and I started identifying our pollution problem that we started having to the point where, you know, you start going on dives and you see more plastic than you see marine life. And that, you know, things started to click for me and realizing that that's eventually going to have an economic toll on the island because it's all dependent on scuba diving. So we've been organizing beach cleanups there for a long time. And that impact onboarding thing came way after. It came after me being pretty much bored with falling in love with the potential of blockchain and how we could use it to disrupt so many industries. And then realizing, like, oh, wait, we're just printing money out of thin air. Like, we're just minting more tokens, you know, and then not really giving them utility, just like promising utility down the road. And at that time, I was working with incubators and launch pads and, you know, doing like BD type things and helping projects define their go-to-market and helping them create this community buzz, right? And then I started realizing, oh, we're giving all these KOL allocations and, you know, like that's a big conversation that's happening now on crypto Twitter, right? Like the KOLs and the allocations that they're getting, that's always been a thing, right?
Right.
But then I started realizing, oh, we're promising these products and tools, and then we're giving a lot of insiders and KOLs early allocations, and they do, you know, 10x on 10% of their vesting at TGE, and they're fine. They're like, they made their money back on 10% vesting. Now they're just gonna ride the whole market and dump on retail. And that's started making me feel like there was this scammy kind of thing that's happening with the way that a lot of these projects are going to market. And I fell out of love for a little while, and I started going, this is also, you know, when play to earn was a big thing as well, right? And I started connecting the dots between play to earn and token incentives for in real life games, right? Like gamifying impact in real life. And then, that's how I started connecting those dots there.
That's amazing. And then, I mean, I think maybe bridging right into that work, I mean, where that started to become like IRL experiments is you were doing beach cleanups and then onboarding those people that were doing beach cleanups into crypto, getting them set up with wallets, dropping them a small amount of tokens to as like compensation for their support. And I think even maybe some POAPs and things, but maybe walk us through sort of those early experiments in trying that out.
Yeah. So it started with the realization that locals were not, they were not participating in beach cleanups. It was a lot of backpackers, right? Because just the cultural difference of, you know, just being more aware of environmental issues, that's not really a Honduras thing. And it's also really difficult to ask Hondurans to go on their one day off to go clean the beach, right? Where they're not really yet making that connection of, you know, what does this plastic affect my job? You know, and it's like, well, in a couple of years it might, you know, but that connection wasn't really there. So I started thinking, you know, okay, we're organizing these beach cleanups through a dive shop that I was working at. And we're not being successful at having Hondurans show up, right? So how can I start doing that? And I'm connecting all these dots and going, okay, well, I think play to earn is gonna be the key here, right? So I'll start doing play to earn. And initially it was, download the wallet, install the wallet, write down your seed phrase, and I'll give you fiat. So I was giving them like 100 Lempiras, which is the equivalent of $5, right? And then people were going, well, I don't get it. Why are you giving me fiat and making me download this thing? I'm like, well, because next time you can't participate if you don't have the wallet, right? So it's like,
got it.
Slowly introducing this concept. And then I also realized, well, it's kind of dumb to give people crypto when they can't spend it. It's a lot of trial and error. So then I thought, okay, well, what are we using here? We're using the tuk-tuk drivers to take us there and then to take the waste up to the recycling plant. And then there's the cafe at the dive shop. So I think those are going to be the easiest places to onboard and say, okay, well, we can pay people with the tuk-tuks for taking the waste. And then you have crypto, you can just hail a tuk-tuk. One of these, like it was only two guys that were accepting it. And then like the cafe, you can always go get a coffee there. So I started just, you know, trying to create this small circular economy, right? Which is just beach cleanup, cafe and tuk-tuks and see if people would actually go through it. And people did. People wanted to like offload that crypto as soon as they could. Because yeah. It's like they still don't understand, is this going to have value tomorrow? Like, what is it? Am I going to delete this app? I don't get it, right? So that was the early experimentation, and it was great. People were all of a sudden realizing, okay, so if I take my wife and I take my kids and we have a wallet for everyone, we can basically earn like almost my week's pay, right? For like the breadwinner. And they're going, what? That's like a barbecue on a Sunday. So it started creating this really cool vibe where people were really excited to participate. And then the word started spreading and our beach cleanups went from, you know, 10 backpackers to like maybe 15 backpackers to, an additional 30 Hondurans. That was,
Okay.
yeah, it was a really cool growth spurt that we had there.
It's just such a unique experiment because you were on an island, so you really had this constrained ecosystem that you could play in. And, to think, okay, tuk-tuk drivers are going to be a part of the system. It's not like you had to onboard 5,000 of them all to take crypto. It's like talk to those two guys that run the tuk-tuks, and as long as they'll take it, now you can add that and the diner. I think it's just such a it's such a great experiment at that scale, because it just starts to prove that this is possible, that if you can provide that incentive, but then more importantly, then provide something to do with it, that then people start to like, it starts to click that this can be a real useful asset and not just a speculative gambling instrument. 'Cause people aren't trying to collect that so that they can then sit on that like $5 worth of crypto for the next 50 years in the hopes that it's going to be something. They want to use the money. And to me, and I think to you, and maybe this is where we go with the conversation next, it's like that's the long-term point. Like, I think you've seen firsthand like how $5 of crypto or $20 of the whole family comes like makes a difference in these people's lives at a scale that so many in the global north are really just sitting in a casino, looking for the next speculative instrument to try and make their portfolio grow. Whereas these people really like $20 actually makes a huge impact in their life, and they don't want to hold on to that for life. They want to use that to pay the bills this week, to buy food this week, et cetera. And so, just wondering kind of your thoughts on all of that. I just think philosophically that it's such a different thinking than so many people in crypto, yet it is the place where, in my opinion, and I think yours too, where we have to go.
Yeah, it's actually not very, very different than the philosophy that a lot of crypto natives have. It's just easier to philosophize on it than to act on it, So we've always had the memes of onboarding the masses, right? Like mass adoption. What is it? The next billion. We're not even at 1 billion, right? But we're still going next billion. And then there's banking the unbanked, right? So yeah, just like you noted, it's a great place to experiment with this because it's so small, it's so marginalized from the rest of the country, right? It's already an emerging economy, Honduras, right? But then now you're talking about a small island in an impoverished country, right? So just that distance means that there's not a lot of services like financial services, right? There was at that time there was one ATM, and if it ran out of money, it ran out of cash. Like you had to wait for the cash to come from the mainland, and a lot of people didn't even have access to an ATM, right? So you're like it's just a cash economy, and so it was hitting a lot of these narratives that we always memeify and try to push this narrative as like the way that we're going to change the world and we're going to empower people, but it's also really difficult to accomplish. I'm always poking at people or at the industry, I guess in general, for not really following through on these principles that we were always selling. But realistically, it's just really difficult. You need to have people there locally on the ground to actually, do the work, right? Just to a certain extent, it's maybe not so much now, but back then it is like financial martyrdom, right? Like back in 2019, 2020, or when I started doing this, there wasn't anyone going, oh, we have grants for that.
Right.
It was just like, oh, you
Right.
want to
Those
do
were
it?
your
Go ahead.
$5 in Limpera that you were giving away to them,
Yeah.
not some subsidy that OP gave to you to give away to onboard people. Like
Yeah,
you were
exactly.
creating the subsidy to onboard people at that point.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a great point, man. It's experimenting in the economies that need this technology the most, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe it's a good time to talk, bring right back to the project you mentioned, the front end of the project. So it seems like it is sort of the next iteration. Now we're what, a year and a half, 2 years past when you first were doing those first experiments, and now you're working on bringing together a set of communities together to all be doing these kinds of activities. Localized activities, onboarding, et cetera, and then sort of bring them all together in this nouns prop. And what's amazing is we can talk about it in public because you're building in public. Like the first thing you did was, post about it on Farcast or tweet about it that, hey, join this Telegram group if you're interested in being a part of this thing. And then from there have been just building in public, and I've been kind of keeping an eye periphery, but maybe talking about some of the lessons learned and some of the good, the bad, and the ugly of that early experiment, and how that informs then what you're doing with this newest nouns prop.
Yeah, I have to take a pause in this conversation and just give you totally. Your props, because you are just nailing this interview, bro. This is amazing.
Thank you.
I feel like I'm on Hot Ones. I just need the wings, or what's that other Canadian dude with like the beret that does the musicians?
Oh, well, Nardwar. Shout out to like the legends, Nardwar.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. To get anybody that would A, know that reference, and B, like connect me at all to Nardwar, that's high praise.
Yeah.
And then Sean Evans on Hot Ones, yeah. I believe is one of the greatest interviewers of our age.
Yeah,
I listen to a lot of Hot Ones.
You're
so, so I do model a lot of what my thinking but I appreciate you noticing things. To all the listeners out there, this is only episode number 2. I'm still getting into my stride, but it's always good to get some live feedback that it's working.
Yeah. So learnings from this experience. So the only reason why this nouns prop is even a reality is because this little project, beach cleanup, incentivized beach cleanup thing in Honduras, started spreading to other countries, right? Someone from Venezuela, for example, reached out to me. One of the leads at ETH Venezuela said, hey, when are we going to start doing this in Venezuela? I said, yesterday. Like, what do you mean? Like, let's get on it. Do you have a community? And she's like, yeah, I have a community. I can go down there this weekend. Let's do it. So people kind of liked the concept. And my initial goal was, I'm not going to be the person scaling this. I want people to understand that you can copy pasta this anywhere you are in the world. You don't need to be a developer. There's tools already out there. We have enough tools. We don't need to keep maybe to keep improving on tools, but we have enough tools. We just need to actually go out there and put them together, right? So I wanted to create this example that you can copy pasta this, but then I realized people needed actually the guidance, right? And I'm not great at giving people a run book of something. I'm not going to sit there. I'm just going to go, no, just do this and start doing it. And we keep iterating. And one of the things that I learned really early on is that you don't understand people's challenges in other places. You know, you have this idea of like, oh, just use the tech for this. And then you realize that they have a totally different set of needs. And maybe you can introduce them through this beach cleanup concept. But then early on in this project in Venezuela, I started asking, just getting to know them more, right? And then realizing that, oh, minimum wage is $5 a month and you need 108 minimum wages to feed a family of 4. And you start realizing these realities in other parts of the world and going, what is going on? Like, I had no idea this is actually something that's happening there. And you, like, I guess you hear about it, but until you meet people living through it, you realize it. And then you start figuring out like, okay, well then what are things that you want to get solved? Like, what do you want to solve for in your community? And one of their first responses was, well, we haven't had a school for years. You know, like, we have this whole town and we don't have a school because the teachers don't want to work for $5 a month. And so I thought, okay, well, how can we solve for that? And how can we incentivize this? So we created this like makeshift school, someone's house, basically, that they're allowing kids to come. And then we started playing with how do we incentivize that, right? So now every kid can earn one dai per day that they attended school. So in certain cases, when the parents were unemployed, like, they became the breadwinners, right? If they have, you know, 2 kids and they're earning $10 a week, like, you're already surpassing the minimum wage. And that, like, it's so cool to learn about that, but also it kind of slaps you across the face with reality, right? Realizing like, okay, you're trying to help other people in other places, but you don't know what's actually going on there. And it's difficult to from a distance. So that was a huge learning for me. And it's helped me kind of change the way I approach these communities, right? So instead of going and being like, okay, this is what we're going to do because it worked in Honduras, it's more like, okay, let me hear you out first and then figure out, you know, what the needs are and what is relevant, and maybe like put the ball in your court and say like, what do you think we can do? You know, like, you've reached out to me, so you must have some ideas and you must have more awareness than I do for what can be solved there, right? And then, yeah, so now this prop it's looking to create impact and build on this impact onboarding, which I'm rebranding to meme-packed noun-boarding.
I love that. I don't know if you want to just talk about the idea of meme-packed and how that, you know, it is sort of this next evolution of taking this idea of impact onboarding, but sort of adding in this layer of memes that...
I would love to jump into that. So it's kind of poking fun at a lot of the thought leaders in the public goods space, right? Because I think that we do get on this like high horse, you know, and we do start kind of like throwing shade at other parts of the ecosystem because maybe they're better at onboarding or maybe they're better at moving liquidity around than like public goods projects, you know? And then people that are kind of leaders in the industry, you can see them get triggered on Twitter. But my approach is like, okay, well, if they're so good at onboarding, if they're so good at raising capital, why don't we give them that nudge to do these memes for impact, right? And surprisingly, it's happening. You know, there's so many meme projects that have actually started funding impact. And this is a long time ago, right? Like when, what was it, Shiba that sent a bunch of money? That was an indirect effect of MemePack, right? To Vitalik, and then Vitalik sent it off to India, right? For COVID relief. I mean, that was like early stage MemePack, right? No one expected that, but it happened. And most recently in this cycle, people are really triggered at so many meme projects popping up and like being in, you know, the top 100 in market. other projects that have been here for a couple of cycles are kind of like struggling to stay relevant, right? So I'm really trying to lean on that concept of like, okay, well, they're good at one, creating community, they're good at raising capital, and they're good at just like making things fun, right? So if they want to stay around longer, I think it would be beneficial for them to start creating actual impact, right? Like they don't have any utility for their tokens. So the utility could be, we do cool, impactful things, right? And I think Nouns is a perfect representation of that. Another one, like Kok Inu on Avalanche, like they ran a hackathon for Avalanche. Like that's such a cool way of funding the public goods within the Avalanche ecosystem, right?
Right.
There's so many examples now of projects that are doing that, and they're now you start seeing like people at the very top, instead of trying to throw shade at them, like Vitalik had that like charity coin thing and meme coin thing, and now you can see that trickle down to the other thought leaders going like, okay, well, we'll give them a shot now, right? So yeah, I've adopted a CEO of MemePact as one of my roles.
I love that, but I mean, I think one of the things you are pointing at is to have fun. Like that's something I've known about you since the beginning. Is like, yes, you want to get things done, you want to make an impact in the world, but you also want to have some fun while you're doing it. And that's, you know, especially as crazy as this, you know, Web3 world is, and to stay engaged and involved is a 24/7 sport. Like if you're not having a little bit of fun, you're not laughing and not, you know, enjoying yourself along the way, then you're probably doing it wrong, or maybe at least for the wrong reasons. Because there's this power of play. And I think what you're pointing at is all of those brands in the top 100 that sat there forever and thought they were going to always be in the 100, they stopped playing. They started being more businessy businesses, or just, you know, taking for granted their communities, etc. Versus the meme coins, it's 100% playful. Like that's the only thing that drive these meme coins and other meme projects, is there's just this playfulness in the community of having fun creating these memes and staying, you know, shit posting on Twitter and Farcaster, et cetera, and then watching their coin go. But they're coming there for that energy, that fun. And so to the extent you can begin to leverage that into real projects, I think that there's a huge unlock there that a lot of people just are not quite seeing yet. And that the reason why what we're building here is different is the fun. It is all the stupid memes, and that's why they are here to stay. I mean, plenty of them are going to go away, but plenty of these, you know, we're going to see Dog with Hat in 5 more years, but maybe as a mature project that's funding impact or maybe something else, but finds something real to do with that fun energy and that play. And, you know, I think you do a good job of pointing at that, but also tapping into that with communities. And I think, maybe to segue slightly, just because you mentioned nouns, in case I can't, generally, I would think all our listeners know what a noun is or what nouns is, but maybe just taking a moment just to, you know, talk a little bit about nouns. I know that you really have jumped in the last, you know, maybe 6 months, have acquired a couple nouns and officially really a important member of the nouns community. And really driving this meme pact right into Noun Central, but maybe tell us a little bit about nouns, and then we'll keep kind of going with this. And feel free to comment on the play and everything else I just mentioned as well. But
yeah, so just commenting on the play, that's also one of the reasons why the internet grew so much. You know, like what the early stage websites were, like websites that you could go to and just click a button and hear fart sounds, you know? But it was the type of thing that made people keep going and tell your other friends about it, right? It wasn't like, you know, the Yahoo Finance or something, you know, whatever was around back then. Right. It was like these really dumb websites that got people really excited about the technology, right? And then you were using it without knowing what the heck the internet actually is, right? You just know it's the place where the fart sound website is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, nouns. I have really fallen in love with nouns. I've been following nouns for a while now. I've attended a lot of conferences and they've had a presence, like all last year they had a presence at the ETH Global hackathons, but also there's a lot of meaningful tech that's been developed for the Ethereum ecosystem from nouns. So you kind of hear about it like that in passing. But I really got into nouns because of the Noun Square. So, you know, Toady, I think he's just such a great influence for the nouns ecosystem and great ambassador. And I loved listening to the spaces, right? Like I've always been on the spaces. I'm always looking for cool spaces to listen to. And it was just such a great place to go and learn about nouns and have every perspective, have the really fun meme-y thing, have the impactful thing, have the completely distract you from work thing because they have, you know, the FOMO nouns and you're like spam clicking to pick all these things. So it was really engaging. It was really cool. And I really fell in love with it. And I, you know, looked at the prices of nouns for a long time and I thought, oh man, I wish I could get one, you know? And I probably could have afforded it back, you know, when I started getting into it, but it like not really afforded it. I could have aped into it and been like, all right, well, there goes all my, you know. So, you know, with more time in the industry and just earning in crypto, and then because of market conditions, like the prices really dipped drastically. And I thought, this is great. This is something I can get behind. And it's not really like a speculative thing. It's just you believe in the mission and you're down to put some funding into it. But then also it kind of just like this opportunity, like if you want to make something come true, like if you have this concept, if you have this idea, if you want to build something, you can also make a proposal, right? So nouns, it's a DAO, and it, one noun is minted every day. It's an auction, right? Like that's a noun style of PFPs, and it's a person, places, things, right? So mine is it's an orca. So I have mine here. it's Or Carlos, like you said in the intro. Yeah, so I, you know, you can mint one if you win the daily auction, and that funding goes to a treasury. So the power of nouns, of owning a noun, is that you get to vote on proposals, right? And you get to help decide what we're going to fund. Everything from, you know, a restaurant in Australia to a school in Uganda to Agora, which is the forum governance platform for a lot of organizations like Optimism, Arbitrum, Gitcoin, like most of the DAOs, right? So it's really mm-hmm. meaningful pieces of technology that have been created from the Nouns ecosystem. And also in real life impact, but also things like someone recently made a proposal, this pro surfer from Brazil, to go to Nicaragua to compete at a conference representing nouns. We've funded breakdancers so they can travel the world representing nouns, like proliferating the meme, right? The noggles. So to me, it's just a great representation of all of these things that I'm really interested in, right? So it's meaningful technology that helps drive the space forward. It's really fun and joyful representation of the technology to create impact in the real world. And it's also kind of leveling the playing field for people, right? So you don't need a noun to make a proposal. You could make a proposal, and if it's good enough, if it's something interesting to anyone within the nouns ecosystem that holds nouns, they can say, "All right, bet, I'm going to sponsor this and let it go to vote. Let the DAO decide if it gets funded or not," right? So I love that it's that open. You can be someone, like, obviously it helps if you have reputation within the ecosystem and you've proven that you can deliver on something, right? Don't just be like an idea guy that had a dream and woke up and said, "Oh, that sounds great," right? So I love that it's very inclusive in that sense. And it just combines all the things that I'm interested in. So I've really aped in and used this as an opportunity to drive impact based on the things that I want to see out there in the world.
I'm curious, in general, I think the nouns vibes are, I quote, high vibe community, and they seem to to have a lot of fun in general. As you sort of weave that playfulness into this idea of doing real world things and funding public goods, generally, has it been well received as you talk to others in the nouns ecosystem, that as you're starting to build some of these things and sort of teeing it up, that community members seem excited for nouns to be making an even bigger impact in the real world?
Yeah, I think so. People are busy, so it's kind of, I realize it's hard to be like, "Hey, take time away from your busy day to go and read through this weeks of messaging in the group." But generally, I think people have been supportive, and I'm excited for also the opportunity to try to solve some things, right? So it's like, if you're interested in something in the ecosystem and you see opportunities to improve something, DAOs are a great place to go, "I think this could be better. I can do it," right? Like, I'm not just going to be like throwing out ideas and saying, "You should do that." I think it's a great opportunity for you to go, "This could be better, and now it's my responsibility to make it better," because it's this open, inclusive kind of working space. So I'm very much leaning into that and trying to make that a part of this proposal, and in a way, kind of raise the bar to say, like, "Okay, it's great that we're creating impact, but who's going to see it?" Right? If more people see it, there's more value to being a part of nouns. And if there's more value to being part of nouns, then we raise more funding to continue doing this thing forever, right? So yeah, that's kind of where my head is at with that. And people seem very receptive to that so far.
I'm excited because it feels like it's this next level of scale where you are connecting all these different regional organizations. So it's not even like you're just picked one country and it's 10 organizations in one country. Like, this prop is going to be international. It's going to be all over the world. And sort of as you were describing earlier, each individual community has a different purpose. They have different ways to onboard, to make meaningful impact onboarding a possibility in their communities based on their locations. If obviously they're not sitting at a coast, they're not going to do a beach cleanup. So maybe it's a river cleanup. Maybe it's not cleanup at all. Maybe it's some other service activity. But I for one, am just so excited to see the results and see like the difference that it does make and learn from it because, I don't think I've really talked about it on the podcast to date, but founder of the Solar Foundation, a small solar foundation building solar projects in the global south or in different parts of Africa. And we do all that all with crypto funding. And we are continuously learning about how every region, every community that we serve has their own issues, has their own needs. And I keep thinking that there's ways that we can begin to go a step further and begin to onboard these different communities into crypto in a more meaningful way. And so continue to watch what you're doing to model after that over time. It's such admirable work, and I think it is because it's so hard that nobody else will do it. Like that's that is the reality of it. Like, somebody like yourself that cares enough is going to get it done. And as that, pebble starts rolling down the hill and growing, in steam, then maybe others will as they begin to see those models. But, you're really paving the way for so much potential in the future, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And it is really difficult. And people often ask me, you know, like, how do you manage to onboard so many people and so many organizations? And it seems like a lot, but it's realistically like, I don't know, 5 to 10% of the people that I reach out to. There's a lot of rejection. There's a lot of people turning me down. Just today, I onboarded the Safari company that I used last year when I went to ETH Safari. And so I took my family. We did the Safari. And during that trip, I'm like, hey, you should consider doing this. And they're going, nah, man, like, I'm definitely not into that. And I've been harassing them for months while contacting a bunch of other ones. And just finally today, I was able to pay for this year's Safari and also connect him with someone that does P2P. So he off-ramped. So within an hour, this dude sold a Safari, was able to off-ramp that to another person that deposited Kenyan shillings to his bank account. And I'm going, like, it was worth it, you know, like months of harassing this organization or this business, and it worked. But it's also just such a great opportunity to onboard bigger organizations that are already really good at marketing, that are already mm-hmm. really good at creating a lot of impact. So by piggybacking on what they're doing and just saying, hey, now there's this new funding mechanism, there's the Gitcoin, there's the Optimism, there's Nouns, you know, you can tap into this and figure out how to mold what you're doing to you know, basically their essential intents or their North Star. And you can gain access to this funding mechanism. And then the industry wins by saying, hey, look, we are creating the change that we intended to. And also, they have, you know, tens of thousands of followers on their social media, and they're going to be like promoting the, I always onboard them with like the ENS. So it's like the .eth on their Instagram or their TikTok. And now, you know, a couple of them have hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter. And I'm sure that that's like, it's just like a soft shill. You know, all of a sudden this amazing content creator you have has a .eth and you don't realize it. But then maybe in a few months, you're going to go, oh, it's what's happening here with Ethereum, you know? Or the content creator eventually goes, hey, this is happening because I got funding from, you know, from these cartoons, you know, on the blockchain, right? So it's I'm really excited for it. It's hard work, but it's also very fulfilling when it actually, you know, connects and it clicks.
Yeah. No, and I'm sure that, I mean, I'm glad that you are saying that because it, you know, for those that are just sort of watching you build in public, they don't see all the no's because those folks never, you know, even make it to the show, if you will. And at the same time, like, what an amazing way to onboard people into crypto. You know, I mean, it's one thing as the bull cycle runs and you get friends and things are like, oh, what coin am I supposed to buy? How do I do this crypto thing? Because they're all excited about gambling. It's a totally different thing for somebody like one of these organizations to be onboarded, start to see how they can keep doing almost exactly what they're doing already by just shifting some of the context, some of the language that they're using, and then that there's people out there that want to fund this work, then obviously their thousands of followers are just going to follow them, but they're going to be onboarded not through, you know, some speculative thing, but in like real world, like, oh, like now I can get some crypto and I can pay you for your service. Amazing.
Yeah.
And by the way, like my USDC isn't, you know, deflating in value by the second in my country. Like, oh, even better.
Yeah.
And then starts to build that trust too, because now it isn't just some random video or some random thing that they heard about crypto being bad or scam Bankman-Fried or whatever else that they may have heard. Like, it's that guy they've been working with forever. And so there's a certain level of trust there and bringing people in the right way. Like, I just, like the long game here is really amazing to think about, which I think you're clearly, you know, seeing that, and that's where that fulfillment does come. It's people that you onboarded into organizations even a year ago that you're starting to see, oh, like here's this person that came in through them that now is an even bigger figure than them. It's like, you know, it's something in and outside of crypto. I sort of live by this idea of sort of like creating leaders that are greater than yourself. Like the people around you should be like lifting them up in that spirit of like, how do I get the people around me to be even better than me so that they can take this a step further? And it's like, it's the people that we onboard, it's the people that we inspire that are going to be that much bigger than either of us combined, that are going to then have that much more impact long term. And that's always gets me.
Yeah, I do. I want to interrupt the interview again to go to jump to a story time and just like discussing onboarding.
No, please, please.
So my, you know, we worked at Gitcoin together, right? And I before working at Gitcoin, I did the grantee to you know, Gitcoin contributor pipeline. And it got to a point where I was introduced to public goods funding by Gloria, a former Gitcoiner. And she said, "Hey, man, like you shouldn't be paying for this. You should apply to this funding." And I thought, "Oh, what's happening here?" And I submitted my application, and it was so trash that you contacted me. You were like, "Oh man, this is such a cool project. You're doing such cool stuff, but your application needs a little help." And I was like, "Oh, okay, like whatever." And then you're like, "Okay, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a doc." And then we're going to jam on this together, right? And then you basically just rewrote the whole proposal. You know, like you rewrote the whole proposal and you put it in the place where it was like acceptable to participate in grant funding. I started getting grant funding. I think the first time was like, I don't know, 9K or something like that. And I'm just blown away, right? So like you enabling that for me is actually what inspired me to go, hold on. This is an opportunity for anyone creating impact, right? Like, how do I go back now and like bring 10 more people and show them this whole process and get them to it? So it's just, it is this pay it forward kind of vibe that I think people that are into making impact, that are into like working to make the world a better place are about. So I'm so grateful to you for actually doing that for me, because if I would have just gotten the rejection, I would have been like, all right, fine, that didn't work, you know, because my application sucked and I would have just been continued doing what I was doing. And probably wouldn't have been able to scale it to where it is now, right? And I wouldn't be, I wouldn't have grown into this Gitcoin position, and I wouldn't have, you know, grown into the Optimism ecosystem, and now growing into the Nouns ecosystem. So, a lot of this is definitely, indebted to you, man. And like I appreciate all the support you've given me, even not just through that application, but you know, a lot of our conversations, right? Like. Just about, you know, growing in the space and putting in the work and doing meaningful work. So yeah, man, props to you, and thanks for all that.
Thanks. I appreciate you pausing for the story time, and it's, you know, it is not, you know, it's that those were one of those things that you and I know that not a lot of people realize that that happened, but yeah, it's like there's, to the extent I can play even a small role in what then becomes the work that you're doing today is, you know, is what keeps me going. And then there's plenty of times where I'm, you know, about ready to give it all up. And then I see some tweet from you about, like, you know, and honestly, it's the playfulness of it, but it's about, you know, it's about something silly that you're kind of, you're poking fun. And then I'm like, all right, I'm back in it. I'm here for this. Like, if this is what we're doing, all right, then if we can just have some fun with this and not be too serious, then maybe we're going to make it. But you can't always be serious. And so, I do have my co-hosts here, a friend of the pod, a good friend, Shmolak. It's so good to see you again. I feel like we haven't been on a space together in forever.
Hey, Shmolak, what's up?
Oh, and I almost missed it. Oh, it's Or Carlos. I've heard so many wonderful things about Or Carlos. He's legend.
Shmolak.
Legend far and wide.
Shmolak, I guarantee I'm voting in favor for your next DAO proposal.
Amazing. Amazing. I want to onboard all the monsters into crypto, and it is so difficult. So difficult. But I appreciate your support. My evil, as we all know, my evil brother Moloch is always ruining everything. Just at dinner on Sunday, we were chatting with the family, and I was explaining to him your work in MemePact, and he was like, "I'm going to ruin that. I can make that fail." And I was like, no. So we're going to hope that you, John, and me can beat my stupid brother. Everyone hates him. I came here to lighten things up and to just ask you a few lighthearted questions as we, you know, take a little pause from the seriousness of the existential crises in the world. So as far as things are concerned with you, yes or no, pineapple on pizza?
Yes, for sure.
Oh, yes. Okay. Getting mixed results on that. Very, very controversial, but can appreciate that answer. And I can maybe guess it, but do you have a favorite animal?
Ooh, it's you're not gonna guess what it is. It's a nudibranch. Nudibranchs are like these slugs in the ocean, and they come in all types of shapes and colors. They're called nudibranchs because their branchials, their lungs, their lung, the breathing organisms are outside, so they're exposed. That's where the nudie thing comes from, and they're beautiful, and they're like more and more being discovered all the time.
Amazing! I know that you do some skydiving. Have you actually seen these beasts?
It's a scuba dive. I've seen a bunch of them.
Amazing. I do not make it scuba diving much. Don't know much about that. I don't like water. Do you have a favorite public good?
I guess the like climate is the ultimate public good. You know, it's something that everyone needs to be in tip-top shape and everyone enjoys, and then no one wants to pay for.
And that is so true, and it's really causing a lot of trouble for you humans. We monsters can live at temperatures far, far warmer than it is today, so we'll be fine, but you humans are in trouble if you don't figure this out. As I was saying, you know, a lot of existential dread in the world, and, you know, many days it's hard for anyone in crypto or anywhere to really keep going. Some days I wonder what we're going to do next, but I'm wondering if you have any tips for staying optimistic in this crazy world.
My tip for staying optimistic is leaving this place in better shape than, you know, we have it, right? Like looking at the next generations, what can we create for next generations to hopefully, you know, live a happier and more fulfilling life than we can.
That gives me some hope.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Carlos. You continue to inspire us all. So great to see you again. Can't wait to see you next time. And or Carlos, keep up the good work. Keep him in line.
Yes, our resident host, guest host, Chmolok. Love him. And always wonderful to have him join us. As we move towards closing out the pod here, I don't know, anything else in general on your mind that you want to maybe cover that we haven't?
You know, I do want to dive in a little deeper into the idea of just getting out there and doing and experimenting. Like, I would love to leave everyone with some motivation to go out and do things in the real world. I think we do spend a lot of times in the forums and in the Discords and on the Twitter spaces. And we all are a part of some community somewhere in the world. So I don't know what that looks like for you know, wherever the audience is listening. But there's so many cool examples of people doing real world impact. And it could be something like, I don't know, Jesse from Base, for example, he was doing this oak currency thing with like his local farmer market, you know. Yeah. That was really cool. That was awesome to see. And that also gave me more inspiration to keep doing things, right? I think that if you spend time in the ecosystem, you're going to identify opportunities for you to create local impact. And I guarantee that if you start creating local impact, it's going to drive you so much more. It's going to be, you know, the driving force to keep you motivated when you are in that like 2 week long stint of doing nothing but governance forum threads and Discord calls and, you know, all hands, like hands-on meetings and all these things, right? Try to do things in real life. Try to do things like crypto related things, blockchain related things in real life in your local community. And that's going to be, I think, a huge, huge inspiration for you to keep building.
I think that's a great place to really end the pod. I echo that. I think for so many folks out there, it's so easy to be just scared of the failure of it. And I appreciate you mentioning just a bit ago about just there's a lot of no's, there's a lot of failure in this, you know, and there is in everything we do. But I think as you begin to leave the internet and dox yourself if you're ain't on and really interact with people, like the chance of failure starts to rise dramatically as we begin to tackle these big problems in the world. And so I guess what I would encourage people is not to be stopped by the failure. Like, just know you're going to fail. But the chance that you might succeed should be what drives you. like, yes, we're going to fail a bunch of times, but those few successes are worth every single failure along the way. And, you know, at the end of the day, a failure is not going to kill you, but a lot of things in the world might. And so you don't want to leave this place not having done the best you can. So, yeah. And on that note, I guess tell the people where they can find you out there outside of the podcasting world. And really so great to have you and to chat with you today.
Yeah, you can find me lurking around in governance forums. Also Twitter, Carlos J. Melgar. That's also on Warpcast. And yeah, that's you know, I'm on other socials, but those other socials are probably not like blockchain related.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can find Carlos any place you frequent, but on the crypto sphere, make sure you're following him for the hot takes and the invitations to join exciting projects. And on that note, thank you so much, my friend. Really appreciate the time. Appreciate the conversation. Appreciate all the inspiration you're leaving me and the listeners with.
Thanks so much. Honored to be on with Blockchain Sean Evans.